If you have your Bibles, please turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. And as I dwelt upon this and prayed about it and meditated upon it, if you have attended here, and I think I said this last time I ministered here, Hebrews 11, verse 6. If you don't know that this church preaches Jesus Christ and Him crucified as the only means of salvation, you either have earplugs in or are not paying attention. Amen? Glory to God. The title of the message, once I read Hebrews 11, is I Believe. What you believe, what you place your faith in, will determine where you go when you leave out of this world. Okay? It's extremely important that you believe on the right thing. There's really only one thing. Encompassed in that is a bunch of things, but one thing. Hebrews 11, verse 6 says this in the King James Version. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him, to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Can you say amen? Amen. Let's go before the Lord and ask Him to bless His word. Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name we come before You today. And Lord, You know my heart, how I worry that it comes out the way You want it. Holy Spirit, have Your way in this vessel. Have Your way in the people that are within the sound of my voice and those by live stream that will hear this. Let it sink deep into our being and take root, Lord. For Jesus is truly the only way, the only truth, and the only life. We thank You and ask that You bless it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. It's not any less scary to stand up here with fewer people. I was more comfortable preaching in some prisons than I was in my own church when we pastored. It's just strange. But it's nice to have an array of ages here today. And by that, we have some here that are younger than me and some that are older than me. And I try not to get too political because I really follow what's going on in this country. When it comes to preaching the gospel, and I really try not to get my opinion in, preach the word. Preach the word. Amen? That's what the churches need to be doing, is preaching the word. But if you've been alive any length of time, you'll know that the moral fabric of this country is in decay. If you read some of the writings of the preachers of the beginning of this nation, like Benjamin Rush and a couple other people like that, you'll find out that not only did they believe in a providential creator, Jesus, and in His word, but they believed that the morality of the nation is what kept the nation upright before the Lord. The Bible says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Okay? It also says that the nation that doesn't have the Lord for their God is basically a bunch of fools. And you can tell, if you've been alive any length of time, the moral fabric of this society has decayed. And if you know me, I like to read. My kids give me books for Christmas. That's how much I like to read. And some of this I've gleaned for a little bit from one book, some statistics. I like numbers, and it's important to understand the direction that we're going. But this is not a political message, so don't go. Oh, by the way, welcome live stream. Can everybody turn around and wave at live stream? They don't have snow. Glory. For the most part. I work as a car mechanic. 30 years I've been turning wrenches, and I come across a lot of different people. A lot of strange people. A lot of people like me who think straight. Glory to God. Some of you got, you don't know me very well, do you? I like to have fun, but it's okay. Anyways, I come across a lot of different people. I come across atheists. I come across agnostics. I come across people that think themselves to be intellectual. Those that think they're really smart, which the Bible says, professing themselves wise, they become fools. I don't think I'm of any great intelligence. I think I'm smart. I can figure problems out. I can take stuff apart and put it back together, and it works. So I think I have a little level of intelligence. But I marvel at what some people in this country will base their beliefs on. And that's the question I pose to every one of us here today. What is it that you believe? Now, the standard Christian answer is, I believe the Bible. But I've got evidence that I'm going to share with you today that America is woefully lacking in believing the Bible. It is a sad shape. preface to what I'm going to continue on in here, a paragraph in the book that I was reading, it's called U-Turn. And it says in there that the people who elect the officials of the country, it's our obligation, according to these ministers of old, to elect people that are morally upright, God-fearing, Christian men and women. And it says that when the people that are elected are selfish, corrupt, and immoral, it's because the people tolerate selfishness, corruption, and immorality. We can't blame the people we elect. We have to blame us. Our beliefs reflect not only who we vote into office, but our behavior as well. You will reflect and operate with the belief system you have. If you believe that you're nothing, you're going to act like nothing. You're going to tell people that you think you're nothing. But if you believe in the right thing, and there's only one thing to believe in, you have a very solid foundation on which to stand that no man can shake. Amen? I have come across people, like I said, that simply base their opinions and beliefs on absolutely nothing. It's just what they think. That's shaky ground. The only foundation is Jesus Christ and Him crucified, established by Paul. The message of the gospel, as pastors brought out so well so many times. There is one gospel, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Amen? And in preparation to this message, the word indoctrinated came to mind. When we think of the word indoctrinated, that person's indoctrinated, we think typically of a cult, right? Would I be okay to say? But an indoctrinated person or a person that has been indoctrinated into something is simply a particular individual, you or me, that has been taught a certain set of beliefs, a certain set of rules, or a certain set of regulations. Doctrine. Our doctrine is Jesus Christ. We're indoctrinated in the Bible. That's our foundation. It's the only foundation. It is a sure foundation. The Bible declares that no other foundation can any man lay than that which is laid, Jesus Christ, the living Word of God. Amen? We are supposed to follow the Bible. Now, again, works does not save. Are we all in agreement with that? Those by live stream, you can't work your way to heaven. You can't pray enough, read enough, give enough, attend church enough, hop, skip, and jump enough. It's what you believe in, where your faith is placed, that will get you out of this life alive. But I come across all these different individuals that have all these different opinions and backgrounds, and some of them are much like our monetary system. It used to be years ago that we were on something called the gold standard. Anybody here remember that? Don't raise your hand. You're dating yourself. Greg raised his hand. I know Roger wanted to. Glory. Our money used to be backed by gold. For every dollar that was printed, they used to be called gold certificates. They had different colored writing on them, and it would say payable to the bearer on demand, $1 in gold. And for every dollar that they would print, there would be $1 of gold on deposit in Fort Knox and other different places around the country as our gold reserves. But then corrupt men in the government and in the church changed things. We went off the gold standard. It actually became illegal for you to own gold. That's changed. So we went on, or still were on, what was the silver system? We were backed by silver. Some of you may even have a silver certificate and money you got stashed somewhere and don't know it. It says the same thing, only it says that that dollar bill is payable in $1 of silver on demand to the bearer. Well, we went off that in 1964. So for those of you that are collecting silver coins, we have now what is called fiat money. Does anybody know what fiat money is? It's money that's backed by nothing. By the full faith and credit of the United States government, and I have no full faith or credit in our government. The problem is there are a lot of people within the church that have gone off the standard. Okay, when I say standard of righteousness, I'm holding up the Bible, but this is Jesus, our righteousness. I've come to the realization over the last 3+ years attending here and before we had to close where we had pastored at, that I am woefully lacking in righteousness, and what I have stinks. The standard of righteousness is Jesus Christ and Him imputing that righteousness to us by what we believe, in whom we believe in. And I want to graduate to the point where I become like Paul, and I'm not there yet, probably will never attain it until I die or Jesus comes again. I want to know in whom I have believed. I want to graduate to that scale that I just don't read what Paul wrote. I know what Paul wrote. I know how Paul thought. I want to be like that in a sense of belief. But many within the church have gone off the gold standard of the Word of God, if you will. They've gone off the silver standard of certain things taught within the church, and their faith is back. It's a fiat faith. There's nothing backing it, and they can prove it through the things that this country has done in its belief and where the church, the quote-unquote church, stands. And again, it's our own fault. We do not have enough preachers in the pulpit preaching Jesus Christ, preaching salvation through no other name. There is no other name under heaven given where men by men must be saved. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory. What do you believe in? Think about that. I'll give you a moment. Some of you might have to think about that. Hopefully not. If I were to ask you what's going on in the country, it's not as important as what's going on in the church realm. If I were to ask you different things about what you believe, let me ask this question. What would you be willing to die for or to defend? We look at different religions in the world, and we look at the Muslim faith, and I think they're crazy. I think they're insane. I think that these people have been indoctrinated in demonic teachings from this high, but they're willing to die for what they believe. A lot of Christians aren't even willing to live for what they believe. And I don't mean that as a slam on any of us per se, but as the church as a whole. I've come across many people that confess or profess to be Christian, and I'm sorry to have to say it this way, but I don't want what they have. Before my brother-in-law, Pastor Jeff, led us to the Lord, for those of you who didn't know that, he just would not leave us alone. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, thank God for persistence and people that just don't quit. But before I got saved, I came across Christians. No thanks. Mm-mm. Don't want it. Stay away. Till truth was preached. So what do you believe in today? I believe in the Bible. How many believe in the Bible? Everybody should have your hand up. But a lot of people in this nation, especially within a church, no longer believe everything that it teaches. If you do not believe whatever is written between the first and last page of this book, if you do not believe even one little piece of it, it is all a lie. God is complete truth, full truth, all truth. Nothing in his word could be a fallacy because it would go against who he is. It would make him a liar. And God is not a liar. This is the word of God. I have come across people that say we have no real representation of the written word of God. You're deceived, friend. It's right here. Some people say it's just a collection of stories or people's views or opinions of how God operates. As a matter of fact, 54% of this nation believes that this book is not the written word of God. 54%. That's over half. And that's the church. It's a book of stories, good stories, moral stories, good teachings, but not the word of God. What do you believe? What do you believe, live stream? The word of God. I have met people that believe in creation and evolution. Fool. I have met people that believe God created things, took his hands off it, and then evolution took over. So what they're saying is that God is an ape. Because we are created in God's image. So we had to evolve from what he created in his image to a higher form. And there are people out there, 24% of this country believes that God, in their mind, is defined by how high a level of deity they can attain. That's scary. They're their own deity. That's within the church. What do you believe? What do you believe today? Those by live stream, what do you believe today? You believe you can work your way to heaven? Pray your way to heaven? Give your way to heaven? Song and dance your way to heaven? The Big Bang Theory. There's a TV show called that. I happen to watch it. It is hilarious. The Big Bang Theory. When I was little, I used to blow things up with firecrackers. Most of the guys here probably did it too. The models you built as a kid that you didn't want anymore, you'd stick an M80 in there and make it into little pieces you could try and glue back together again. But I never took anything that was anything, model car, stick an M80 in it, light it on fire, and have it blow up and come out in perfectly little round spheres that happen to form solar systems where one would be in the middle and the rest would rotate and go around it in orbit, and then there'd be one 500 million light years away that we can see with the Hubble telescope doing the exact same thing. Fools. Professing themselves wise, they become fools. The Big Bang. There are people in the church that believe that. God created, took his hand off, and evolution started up. 12% of the population of this country do not believe there is a God. 12%. I did a quick overview of how many people are here today. That would mean that if I were to take a poll of the average population and you're representing them, you four right there don't believe that there is a God. Yeah, look at creation. Look at a baby, Pastor Jeff. We just got Sadie, our newest little granddaughter, 2 weeks ago. You can't tell me there's not a God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. My question is, with people that don't have a sure foundation, when push comes to shove, when rubber meets the road, when the proverbial stuff hits the fan, I've seen people fall apart. And that's not to say a Christian can't have a hard time with the death in the family or the cancer diagnosis or whatever the case may be. But I've lived in both worlds, and it's a lot better having Jesus on my side than doing it on my own. Amen? I don't want to experience anything without Jesus. There's only one foundation, the Bible declares. There's only one thing we need to believe in, that's Jesus Christ and him crucified. Amen. Hebrews 11:6, when we opened up, says it's impossible for anybody to please God or to come to God unless they believe that he is. And with all due respect, duh, you can't believe in something that you don't believe in. But that passage of Scripture has to do more than with just believing that he exists. It's having an understanding that the one that created everything, the one that has the blueprints for everything, the one that designed everything, also has the answer for everything. He made it. He knows how to fix it. Amen? Acts 8:37 records the events of Philip and his first convert to the faith in Jesus Christ. It was the eunuch. In Acts 8:37, it says this, "And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." Talking about getting saved and water baptized. And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And that passage of Scripture, the word believest, means more than just a head knowledge. It means that he was willing to place all of his faith and trust in what Philip just told him about this man called Jesus. And that's where we need to come to as ourselves. Ourselves also. How many of us, I'm going to do a poll here today. How many of us believe in aliens? Good. Loch Ness Monster. Bigfoot. When I was younger, I wanted to go track him. It's before I knew Jesus. Why don't we believe in these things? How about all roads lead to the same God? Is there more than one gospel? Do you believe the government is the answer? I think it's the problem. Do you believe in your rights? By golly, I've got rights! Or do you believe in Jesus, the one who saved your soul and set your feet on solid rock? What do you believe today? Now, most of you have already probably stopped and thought, where is he going in this? We believe in Jesus Christ and him crucified. But to believe that, you have to believe in the provision made for everything you have in need of in your life. As pastors preach from this pulpit, your next job, your next house, your next car. Healing, whether it's through a doctor or not. Everything through Christ. I believe. What do you believe? What would you lay your life down for? If somebody came up to you and put a gun to your head and said, deny Jesus, would you do it? Or do you believe that when that bullet goes through your brain, the next moment you're in eternity? Or how about if they did it to your child in front of you? What do you believe? What do you stand for? I'm going to make a contradictory statement, and this is the gist of the message. I was raised Lutheran, ELCA, Evangelical Lutheran Church of America. And I went through Sunday school. I was a faithful Sunday school attendant from yay high. I don't remember any of it, but I know I went. You know how I know? My mom made me. And we went through all the Sunday school, and I remember the stories of Jonah, and I remember the stories of Moses and Abraham and, you know, Samson, all the stories they teach you in Sunday school. And, you know, from there I went on to remember going into the adult confirmation class, and there I was taught, you know, different things. I had to remember the books of the Bible, and I had to learn certain creeds, if you will. And that's not a bad thing. That's the contradictory statement I wanted to say right there. Not everything a denominational church teaches is wrong or bad. You should know the books of the Bible. I pick on Vicky when Pastor Jeff will say, turn to such and such book. I'll go, that's in the New Testament. Or that's in the Old Testament. And she knows that. I remember one time we had a guest speaker at Amazing Grace, John Alexander, good friend of ours, and he's stood up in the pulpit, and he took his Bible, and he paged open like he was going right to a specific passage, and he said, turn to the book of Hezekiah 5:8. And all you heard was, and he's standing there with his hands in his pocket, just smiling. And then one by one, you could hear the pages stop turning. There's no book of Hezekiah in the Bible. There was a Hezekiah, but not his book. But everything that they teach is not bad. I remember something, it's called the Apostles' Creed. Now, I'm not contradicting what Pastor Jeff teaches here, so lay that aside. I remember that. I'm 53. I got confirmed as an adult Lutheran at 1975. I can't do the math that fast. 40 years ago? Oh, my God. I believe in God the Father, creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe that? If you believe that the Bible is the Word of God and that Jesus is the only way, you have to believe that God created everything there is. There is no other answer for everything there is, period. There's no other explanation for how we got here, where it came from, than God made it. I believe in God the Father, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His Son, our Lord, my Lord. Do you believe that? This is where it gets tricky. I believe in God the Father, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived of the Holy Ghost. The Bible I had then, which was an RSV, said Holy Ghost, didn't say Holy Spirit. Do you believe that? You've got to. Conceived of the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary. There is a stumbling block today in the church with the Virgin Mary. 57% of those in the church believe that the virgin birth actually happened. Only 57% in the church. I challenge anybody, I'm going to look right into the camera. I challenge anybody to look into God's plan of salvation. Work it through. It's the only way God could save mankind from our sin. I've studied out different religions. I read books on what's the difference between Buddhism and Hinduism, Unitarianism, Muslim, Jehovah's Witness, Mormonism. The difference is the born-again Christian, the faith of the Christian in Jesus Christ and Him crucified, it's the only one that has a Savior that died in our place for our dilemma of personal sin. And it's the only one that has anybody resurrected from the dead, seated on the right hand of God and interceding for each and every one of us, every moment of every day. Hallelujah. God the Father, creator of heaven and earth, and Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, conceived of the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate. Look up on the computer, for those of you who like to do online searches, crucifixion of Jesus Christ, medical view. and read what he suffered. Meat literally ripped from his back with the cat of nine tails. And if you don't know what a cat of nine tails is, it's a whip that's got nine branches, if you will, that come off, embedded with pieces or shards, sharp pieces of metal, that when they would whip and rip, it would grab and tear. Some claim in this that you could see his ribs in his back. Beard plucked from his face. So swollen you couldn't recognize him with his beard plucked from his face. The crown of thorns, which I had the opportunity to wear in a play, a real crown of thorns from Israel. They're about three and a half inches long and like a hypodermic needle. And they didn't just place this on his head. They shoved it on his head. Stood before Pontius Pilate, was crucified. But he didn't really die. He revived from the coolness of the tomb, and he's alive today. How many people would die for something you know is not true? Raise your hand. Crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell for one purpose. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. Hallelujah. And ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. Hallelujah. Bible says that one day he's going to come from there. The creed continuing, and I'm not being Lutheran here. You've got to believe everything the Bible says, or it's a lie. There is only one means of salvation, and that's Jesus Christ. If you profess to be a Christian, how you look at Jesus, what you believe about Jesus, is the most important belief that you'll have. Either we believe all the truth or we don't. Either we believe everything written in the Bible or we don't. And the church is in a very sad shape right nowadays because a lot of things have been voted out, have been removed. The only thing that removes sin, not covers it, removes it, is the blood of Jesus. Yet there are many churches that have taken the blood out of their liturgy, which is their cycle of teachings, readings, out of their hymnals. They don't want to touch the blood. Lord, bathe me in it. Bathe me every day. That blood needs to be applied to my heart. Every day. We need to believe in the blood. We need to believe in everything that God has given through Jesus Christ. Glory. I'm a note person. Got to have notes. What happens to somebody when their core beliefs are watered down? Bible says that a man that builds his house on the sand is going to fall. And much of the church has built their house on the sand. Tough times are coming. $18 trillion in debt. A country that's weak in the eyes of the world. A radical sect of a religious faith that's out to destroy you and me and anybody that claims to be Israeli. There's dangerous times coming. What do you believe in? We have a constitution that says we declare these truths to be self-evident, that our Creator, we're endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights. Among these are right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The problem is the church has a constitution, if you will. It's God's direction for how to run things, your life, and we've watered this down. I'm going to tell you something right now. If you don't read the King James Version, and I'm coming against other translations. Let me stop right there. If you do not read the King James Version as a word-for-word translation of the Word of God, you read the NIV, the New King James, Revised Standard Version, all these different translations, you will find a watered-down, altered version of the deity of Jesus Christ, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and everything else that pertains to what Jesus did for us on the cross. They rob from what Jesus did. Actually, one translation, you may be surprised to find out, the New International Version actually elevates Satan in one passage. Biggest cry in our land today is, that's not constitutional. When people like Pastor Jeff and other preachers, Brother Lauren, Brother Bob, Brother Jimmy, and those that have attached themselves to the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ should be standing from the pulpit claiming that's not the gospel. Because it's being preached everywhere, and it's not the gospel. 12 steps to this, 10 steps to that. All you need to do is to confess your way through God will set you free if you fast for 21 days. You know, I did that once. You know what I got out of it? Hunger. Yes. Somebody's on the ball here today. I went from 204 pounds. This is 204 pounds. To 187. That's the only thing I got out of it. Hungry. No deliverance. Nothing changed in my life. Matter of fact, I think I was a little bit more bitter towards maybe even God because it just didn't work. And why is that? Because it just doesn't work. I would have been much better off trusting in what Jesus did at the cross, understanding that each and every day I get up, the mercies are new. I just keep my faith in Him. He loves me. He died for me. He gave Himself for me. I am the apple of His eye. Focus on that. I'd have been much better off. Hallelujah. The Apostles' Creed. All this I make to make one point. A lot of people confess or profess a faith in Christ. I did, and for 8 years worked at my profession. I'm going to try to remember this right, and I'm looking at my wife in case I don't get it straight. Monday night was men's prayer meeting following work. It was at 5 o'clock. Monday was Bible school. Tuesday was the men's prayer meeting at 5 o'clock. Wednesday was church with prayer before. Thursday, excuse me, I don't think we had anything, but Friday was prayer night, and sometimes they do all-night prayer nights, which I didn't want to be at, but I went anyways. Saturday would be a work day. Sunday, there'd be prayer before Sunday school, then Sunday school, then in between Sunday school and the church service there, some people would get in one of the rooms and pray. Then you'd have Sunday service, then you'd go home, shove some food down your neck, get back to church, you could have prayer on Sunday before Sunday night service, have Sunday night service, and get home in time to throw your kids to bed because they had to get up for school in the morning and then repeat the whole thing. I did that religiously for 8 years to the point where the pastor of the church, because I did not want to come to the men's prayer meeting smelling like gear lube. And if you ever get a whiff of gear lube, you wouldn't want me at your prayer meeting. I was called unfaithful. And that hurt. And it made me mad. But I've come to realize something. He was right. I wasn't unfaithful to the ministry. I did not have my eyes on Jesus. Jesus was nowhere in the mix. I was doing the song and the dance, trying to make myself feel better. As Pastor Jeff said, be one of the top dogs instead of one of those people that I would kick when they fell repeatedly. The whole time I had the self-righteousness in my head and I should have been kicking myself. So just because you're in a church that's even preaching the cross, it's got to stay on the cross. One-third of America believes the Bible is either a book written by writers who conveyed their own understanding. I shared this with you. 25% of America believes that God guided the evolutionary process. Shared that. 66% believe that Jesus is not the Son of God. This is America. 6 out of 10 still believe in an all-powerful, all-knowing creator. Thank God for that. I got all sorts of statistics you can look at that just blows your mind at where the church stands today. We turn to anything and everything but Jesus Christ, it seems. Hallelujah. So what do you believe today? I believe God is. God, as in Father, Son, and Spirit, the way we understand it, has always been and always will be. He created everything. I believe that. I believe that Jesus, in the process of time, as the Bible declares, became a man. And this is the thing that blows my mind about God's plan of salvation. God knew that Adam and Eve wouldn't keep it. They wouldn't remain true. They wouldn't remain right. God knew that and already planned before the foundation of the world to make a way that He Himself would become a man. And this is what blows my mind. And make the covenant with Himself. God the Father with God the Son, Jesus. A covenant that I can't break. You can't break it. And Jesus will never break it. It blows my mind. It stands forever. But I believe he's the Son of God. I believe he died for me. I believe it's the only way of salvation. Do you believe that? I believe God's word. The Bible is unerring. It is not wrong. And it's the guide for my life. Jesus Christ and him crucified is what everything boils down to. What do you believe today? When you leave here, what I said, does it just go in this ear and out this one, and we just live our life? Or do we really grasp the understanding of what Jesus has done for us? The imputed righteousness thing we need to really grab a hold of. When I started getting a hold of the idea that my righteousness comes from Jesus and so does yours, this is good. Help me, Lord. It removes my wanting to judge people based on me, how good I am. Because I've come to understand, Pastor Jeff, I'm a poor, miserable wretch apart from Jesus. In me, there is no good thing. But I thank God that the life that I live, as Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Are you? And the life that we now live, we live by the faith of the Son of God, Jesus living in us and through us. We need to believe that. Quit trying. Quit trying. Why are you here today? Why are you here today? Rhetorical question, don't answer out loud. Why are you here today? Hopefully it's to see Jesus, to hear of his word. Hallelujah. So what do you believe? Next time somebody asks you that, well, what do you believe in? What are you going to tell them? Think about that. I had the opportunity on Friday, and I forgot to tell my wife this. I constantly share with my boss and his wife. And Friday, I had absolutely no work. In my line of business, if there's no work, I make no money. So I sat there waiting for somebody to call. And their middle daughter is going through a trying time with a boyfriend who is nothing but trouble. God gave me again the opportunity to share the gospel with them. And they were always saying that she needs to do this and she needs to do that. And I says, no, she just needs to keep her eyes on Jesus because she claims to be a Christian and is stuck in the song and dance routine. What you believe in determines how you behave and where you're going to end up at the end of this life. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in him crucified. I believe that he's coming again for his church and that day is not too far away. I believe that he's going to be here in a millennial reign, and we're going to be here with him, and we're going to enjoy heaven forever and ever and ever. Amen. So what do you believe today? Pastor Jeff, if you would. It's important. Same thing that Paul believed. Same thing he told the church at Corinth, Jesus Christ and him crucified.